I love you. And for our hearts to respond in that love. And we talk about this series, Relationship Matters. Last week we talked about how that first and primary relationship is with God, and how we want to be able to have a conversation with Him, a lifelong conversation, where we're continuing to grow in Him and continuing to know Him more. And that really is a core of who we are called to be as Christians, is having that interaction with Him. That love then is spread to others. And so our message today we're talking about in this series, Relationship Matters, is strengthening the marriage foundation. We're going to be talking through this series. This is not all about marriage, but there are going to be a few different lessons on marriage too. I do realize that not everybody that attends here is married, and that's okay. There are some of you that have yet to be married. We have some that are engaged. We have some that are single and hope one day to be that way. Some are here widowed because their best friend of life has passed away and been ripped away. There are others that have been divorced and faced that kind of trauma as well. And I want to just say, I understand we're not all here in the same place. But I think these principles that I'm sharing with you can be applied to a lot of different relationships. And we want God to lead us into being the Christians that He's called us to be. The closest human relationship we have is marriage relationship. When God created us, male and female, He created us in the image of God. And God being in community, we are supposed to be in community with each other. And so those relationships really do matter. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock and the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of me. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the gift of life, for the gift of love, the gift of your word. And we know that for us to be able to receive and understand the message that you have that is spiritually discerned, we need your spirit to speak the message. And so I just ask that you would give us the freedom to hear. Holy Spirit, that you would move our hearts. Father, that you would draw us toward you. And this time, we will be able to grow and become more like you and closer to you in our relationship. In Jesus' name, amen. Our passage says, in the beginning, Adam is here. He's in the garden. And as we look at this passage, Genesis chapter 2 is a little different take on creation. Genesis chapter 1 goes day by day. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and there was evening and the morning the first day. And it goes on to the second day. And each day it goes through there, it says, "And it was good." We see in chapter 2, and it goes all the way through, and then the beginning of chapter 2, it says, and then on the seventh day, God rested. And then it goes into a different perspective on some of the way God created. And you see a more personal way of what happened. And this passage that we read is really interposed back into day 6. This wasn't something that happened after God rested. You read at in chapter 1, verse 27, that God created male and female in the image of God. That happened on day 6. So when we're looking at this other part in chapter 2, it's kind of placed back in that context. So in chapter 1, day 1, He created light, and it was good. On day 2, He created the sky, separated the heavens and from the earth, and He did that, and it was good. On day 3, He separated the land from the water and made land on the earth, and it was good. On day four, he had the sun, moon, and stars, and the atmosphere, and everything that we see is so beautiful at night. And it was good. You go on and on all the way through creation, and it was good, it was good, it was good. But we get to this point here, and it says, in the beginning here, Adam was alone, and it was not good. We are created to be together. Being alone isolates us literally, but it also isolates our emotions from being able to connect with others. And so God is saying, I see Adam, he is alone, there's no one for him to connect with except me, and I created him to be like me, I want him to connect with others, and so I'm going to create for him a woman, a wife, for him to be joined together. And we see back, and we jump back in chapter 1, that at the end of day 6, after he's created male and female, it was very good. So let's get this. Day 1, it was good. Day 2, it was good. Day 3, it was good. Day 4, it was good. Day 5, it was good. Day 6, not good. The man's alone. Woman is created. It is very good. God created us to be together. And it is this relationship that he's given us is very good. Why was it not good? Well, it was not good because there was no helper found. There is this idea that from the beginning, from creation, women were created to be subservient. They were created to be helpers for men. And so men are above women. Okay. In the beginning, God created us. That word for helper, that Hebrew word, is the same word that is attributed to God later on in the Psalms. So let me ask you a question. Is God subservient to us? No, he serves us, but he is not less than us, right? And so just because woman was created as a helper doesn't mean her less. They were together. They were built to be a team together. I do want to say, take a side note, I already mentioned that I understand that not everybody here is married, and these principles I think can apply. I don't want to minimize the single life either. Because Paul, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 did say, I wish that all of you were as I am. And he was single. He was free to move. And the idea was he was able to devote himself in such a way that he wasn't hindered. He wasn't tied down with family. He could move with God. And so I don't want people to say, well, I'm single. I just can't be in God's will. There are times that God gives us for that. And I don't want to tear that down. But I want to recognize today that marriage is a vital gift. God designed marriage. One man, one woman, designed in his image to be life partners, supportive, helper, encouraging. Man was created for relationship. And when God gave Adam to Eve, or gave Eve to Adam, gave them to each other to work together, to not be alone, they were partners. They were helpmates. They were a team. And we know that teams that work together work better together. So a team that practices, that works on drills, gets the better over time, right? I was on my high school basketball team my senior year of high school. Didn't go the rest of the time, but my senior year of high school, they convinced me to go, so I played. And we would practice every day after school, and I was in the mountains of Colorado. I just moved to Colorado, so I wasn't used to the elevation, doing all those running things. I blacked out a few times, but it was okay because we were working together as a team. And we worked on screens. We worked on different things that we could do to make our team better, and we did get better. So we lost by less every game. Losing season, zero wins. But we got better. And really, in every relationship, we may not come out on top. But if we can improve the relationships that we're in, it can get better and life can be more fulfilling. If we work together in our marriage relationship, if we work together on these relationships that God has given to us, we can become better and grow and make a difference. Sometimes marriage is taken for granted. And once the I do's are stated, the chase stops. And guys, I would encourage you to study your wives, to figure out why she does what she does. If something catches you off guard, study her, figure it out. Ladies, try to figure out how it is that your guy, this one person that God has put in your life, it is the way he is. Sometimes you'll say, I don't know what makes him tick. And that's okay. But there we go. Lord help us, right? There you go. There you go. To grow our marriages, we have to practice complimenting each other. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you look good. Now, that is not the kind of complimenting that I'm talking about. I just wanted to give you a chance to say that, okay? When we're talking about complimenting, we're talking about working together. So where I fall short, you can help make up the difference. And where you fall short, I can lift you up so we can do more together than we did by ourselves. The things that we work on are important. Now, there's authors, Dr. Roger and Becky Tirabassi. Becky Tirabassi wrote a book a couple decades ago. It's called Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World. A great book about what it means to reach out as a church. Her husband is the pastor on staff of a larger church, and his sole responsibility is working with premarital couples and engaged couples to help them get ready for marriage. And together they wrote this book that's called Seriously Dating and Engaged. And it puts together 5 different principles in a way that we can apply and help grow our relationship in deeper ways. And so they wrote this, it's really a workbook. They wrote this workbook to try to help prepare couples as they're moving toward marriage. But it's something that you can do as a married couple that can strengthen your marriage as well. I'm going to share these 5. They're all A's. The first one is affirmation. Affirmation. And let me say this too. As we work through these, this is a book that was not written by God, okay? And as such, there are fallible things that could be found in them. But these 5 principles are scriptural principles that I think are helpful for us and can be applied and are meaningful. So affirmation. So every day, I want you to do each one of these 5 things and affirm with your spouse, share one thing that you really appreciated of what they did that day. So as you do this, it may take 3 to 5 minutes to do all 5 of these, working together, but it can be very helpful. So say, what's something that you did today? Let me tell you, this is something that I really appreciated. Thank you for this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. We need to encourage each other. We need to help each other. And what you feed, what you nurture, will multiply. When you focus on the critical things, when you're very critical of somebody else, whether it's your spouse or another relationship, when you focus on that, that's what you see more. When you focus on the positive, you begin seeing the positive more. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Focus on the positive things of what that person is. It doesn't mean we ignore the negative. We'll talk about that too. But we focus on those positive things and nurture that so that that will grow. So you say to your spouse, I appreciated it today when you did this. Now, if you live in a conflicted relationship, let me tell you that that may be a challenge. So you may have to get creative and look. And you may have to say, you know, when you rolled over in bed this morning and looked at me, you didn't growl out with bad breath and say, oh, you're here still. You may say, you smiled at me this morning. Did you know your smile means so much to me? You take something, and be careful not to make it a slam and say, well, you finally did the dishes. It was about time. Yes, I'm thankful for that. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Please don't do that. But affirm those things that are good and let them know that you appreciate that. Affirmation. Second is affection. Take a moment to physically express your affection. Now, I thought about when I was thinking about what scriptural principle was applied with this. This is probably the hardest one. But I thought about 2 Corinthians 13:12. It says, greet one another with a holy kiss. So I want you to turn to your neighbor. No, I'm not going to do that. That's talking about all believers, not husbands and wives. But the scriptural that I would turn to is in Ephesians chapter 5:28. It says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. When we're taking care of our bodies, when we're showering, we have to wash our hair and scrub it. Okay? We have to physically trim our toenails. We have to do different things. We have to touch as we care for our bodies. As we care for our spouse, I think it's appropriate that we are physical as we express that love. So one of the examples that I have for this is there's a little booklet that was written out called The 10-Second Kiss. I have not read that. I have read a summary of it. And what the idea behind that is you take time to kiss your spouse once every day for 10 seconds. Now, if you have kids at home, sometimes they'll be looking and saying, 6, 7, 8, come on, finish it up. But, been there. What one person said about this is, when you're involved in that kiss, and it's more than just a peck, and it's more than just 1 or 2 seconds, the first time you do it, it's kind of silly, and you start giggling. But as you look back and you start kissing for 10 seconds and making it go that full time, the weight of the world starts to melt away. And the worries that you felt dissipate. Why? Because you are with someone else that loves you and is with you. That connection. I'm not alone. It doesn't have to be a kiss. It could be a massage. It could be hand-holding. It could put your arm around them, but doing something physical. And each of these five, Mary and I practiced this week, every day this week. And so a lot of times I would sit down on the floor next to her, and I'd just hold her hand while I'm expressing these other things and just be affectionate. I would, all right, it's touch time, baby. And so I'll get up, and I'll kneel over, and I'll give her a kiss, whatever. And because Mary's love language, one of her love languages is touch, she appreciates that. And we giggle together and it's all good. But making that expression of saying, you matter to me. So you got affirmation. I'm going to praise you for something you did. Thank you. There's the affection. Third is the apology. Now this gets into the negative stuff. We're not avoiding the negative stuff. We want to address it, but we don't want to necessarily start with that. So you come to your spouse and you say, is there anything that I did today that I need to apologize for? Sometimes the answer will be, no, we had a good day. And sometimes it'll be, there was this one thing. Yeah, I knew when that happened. I knew I was going to be answering for this later on in the week or later on in the day when we came together. But what you're doing is you're opening the communication. And you're saying, you matter enough to me that I'm going to come to you. And if there's something I did wrong that injured you, I want to fix it. We may not agree. You may have thought there was a different motivation. But if I injured you even unintentionally, I want to show love to you by apologizing. And it's okay to say, you know, sweetheart, I didn't mean to do that, but you were hurt. And I'm so sorry I hurt you. I never want to hurt you. So taking time to apologize. A good way to communicate your feelings in a healthy manner is to use I feel statements. I felt rejected when you did this. Or I felt hurt. I felt scorned. I felt abandoned. And you use those feelings, I felt, because what you're doing is you're opening yourself up to them and expressing what the real problem was. And at that point, your spouse can respond to you and can address those things and help the marriage to grow again. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. So if we ask, is there anything that I irritated you or frustrated you, something that I did that injured you? And if the answer is yes, then the best way to do this is to say, I am sorry. If you're wrong, admit I was wrong. And say, please forgive me. And when that response, when that comes, please forgive me, folks. My family, one of the values we have is to not say, oh, it's okay. Forget about it. Because if there was an injury that took place, it was a real injury, and we need to address the injury. And if we say, oh, it's okay, we haven't really embraced the apology. We haven't embraced it. So when someone says, I was wrong, or I am sorry, or please forgive me, for us to respond and say, I forgive you, is a release and a unity and a joining. It's not, I forgive you, but I forgive you. I let it go. It doesn't have to be a huge thing. But if there are little things that are creating problems in our marriage, if we can open up the communication and say, let's address this, it makes a real difference. So affirmation, affection, apology. The fourth one is assistance. Assistance. Request an opportunity to serve your spouse. How may I serve you? Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. Again, this is for all believers, but it ought to be seen in the marriage relationship that is the closest relationship on earth. How may I serve you? Is there anything you would like for me to do for you right now or today or sometime this week? What is it that I can do? And some of those things are really small things. But the very physical expression of saying, I will do that, I want to serve you, is a way of saying, you are precious to me. If we can make our homes, homes of mutual service, of caring for each other, our homes will be richer. Making a daily love gift is a good thing. Now, sometimes, and as Mary and I practice these, there was one day this week that I tried to look and see, well, I don't want to wait till right before bed when we do this, when we sit down for this period of time. I found something that I could do that would be something I knew she wanted to do. Now, I don't encourage you to do that every day. You ought to still ask that question. But at the same time, you can take initiative and say, I knew this was important to you even though you didn't say it. And I wanted to show you that I love you. And so this is what I did. And taking that time that helps your spouse also know that you're studying them, that you get them. And that's important. So, affirmation, affection, apology, assistance, and the last one is amen. Amen. For each person, praying for the other person in their hearing, praying over them, praying for the things that you see in their lives, not as a time to tear them down, but to say, God, this is something that's important, and this person is precious to me. If you're praying for your spouse, and we're talking 2-3 sentences, but when your spouse hears your heart expressed to both of your father in words, they begin to hear how much you mean to them and that you see some of the things that are going on. So I'd encourage you to pray for them. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, all kinds of prayers. Colossians 1:10 says that we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. We're praying for you. So what you can say to your spouse specifically is, how may I pray for you today? Is there something in your life that you want me to pray for you about? And when I pray for her, I will take that and I will pray about that and I will pray about some other things too. And when she prays for me, she prays for me about whatever I've asked her to pray, or if I didn't have anything specific, she will pray her heart for me as well. Now, can you see how those things might be a benefit to marriage? Taking those principles, I would challenge you that this week, every day this week, go through and do all five of those. It doesn't take a real long time to do, 3-5 minutes, okay? But take it and do it each day. Find a time when you can do it, where you can defend that time and show that care for each other. In a busy time of life, sometimes these can initiate longer conversations. Sometimes you have to postpone some of those conversations. But when you do, set a time. Set a time to finish talking this out. We may not be able to do all this right now, but we want to talk about what we can right now and finish it later, and we'll do this. How about tomorrow at lunch? Can we have a lunch date? Or can we get together as soon as we get back from work? We're going to sit down, or we'll go out to eat tomorrow night and be able to sit one-on-one and talk this through. We're going to set a time because our marriage, our relationship is important. Our closing song today is called Reckless Love. We've talked about love, and Sarah's song was about love today, God's love for us, our love for God. But the song in closing is talking about God's reckless love and how he leaves the 99 in the open field to go and get the one. And how that's perceived a lot of times as being foolish or reckless. And what it is, instead, it's really intentional. It's God saying, you are this important to me. I'm going to chase you down. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to love you. If you're in a relationship right now that's strained, some of these things may feel awkward. Is it worth rejuvenation? Is it worth the chance for your marriage to be restored to do these? Let me remind you that we don't serve or love or affirm or pray for someone because they're worth it. We love them because God first loved us. We affirm them because God has his image in their lives, even when it's a broken image. And aren't you glad that God didn't make us reform before he pursued us? Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrated his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, he died for us. He didn't wait for us to get fixed up before he said, I'm going to send Jesus now that you're prepared, now that you're ready. He gave us his all. He laid it all with the risk of rejection. And people reject God every day, don't they? And when we're in this marriage relationship, folks, if we're in a conflicted relationship, it's a risk to put yourself out there, because when you put yourself all the way out there, you can be hurt. But that's the love that God did. It was I give you 100% of me. God doesn't wonder what he's going to gain or lose by putting himself on the line. He loves. Folks, love doesn't hold back. And I want to encourage you to make a commitment today between you and God. I don't think there's a need for an altar call. Altars are always open if you want to come pray. But I don't think there's a need for the altar call, but the commitment of saying, yes, God, I will do these things with my spouse. I will take time to grow my marriage because this is the person that you have given me to love in a special and unique way beyond anyone else here on earth. And I hope you take that challenge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know that you laid this on my life, my heart, for a reason. And I believe there are some people here that needed to hear that. And there are times that we feel incredibly weak and unable to do what we know we really ought to do. God, I thank you that when we are weak, then we are strong. We lean on you. You are enough to help us. You have grace for us in each moment to do what we need to do. And so, Lord, I pray for the individuals here that may feel stretched thin, may feel wounded, hurt. They're in this relationship that they're not sure if there's hope. But you, Lord, you're able. You can bring life from death, light from darkness. And I pray, Lord, that as we sing this song, that you will remind us of your great love for us and your commitment to us, and that we will carry that love on with us. I pray this in Jesus' name.